Hello, this is William Fink. This is the Christogenia European Fellowship Forum. It is September 16th, 2010. Lovely Thursday afternoon in New York. It's raining, so it's the perfect time to be here on the computer. Hello, Matthew. Hello, Taya. How are we doing today?
Hi there. Hi, very well.
Let me, I don't have this set up like I had Caledonia, so I have to go unmute microphones.
Right, okay.
And maybe in 3 weeks when we have the next Euro Fellowship program, I'll be ready. Hopefully. How are we doing today? The Sussex man's not back yet. He's still on the telephone. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
No. You're my guest.
Okay. We've had an interesting report this week of a helmet, a Roman helmet and face mask, which is entire. And it was found by a metal detector in one of the fields. We're not quite sure, just in the north of England. And I've got the links to it. And what's so interesting is not only its condition, but the top of the cap or the helmet is Phrygian in design, and this was Roman. I've got the don't know if these are the two links I have. I've just put them into here at the moment at the bottom. Does that help? Because if people can click on those, they can see the actual helmet, but it is so Phrygian in its style, you know, that cap that comes up to a point. I just thought it was so interesting, and it's going to be auctioned at Sotheby's or one of the big auction houses for a colossal amount of money because it's in such good condition and so rare and, well, so fascinating.
Well, I can't, you know, because the design was Phrygian doesn't make me wonder, because the Romans took soldiers from all over the place, and not all of their equipment was issued. I mean, that they weren't, that they didn't. I never read anything like U.S. military regulations where they absolutely had to wear a certain type of helmet.
No, right.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they had what they needed if they didn't have it, but.
Yeah. This was the sort of thing that they wore in triumphs or on parade. It wasn't something that they would have worn in military combat. So obviously it harks back to some time when
that
was
definitely
worn.
Something that they would wear and for ceremonial purposes and for practical purposes.
But it's so beautiful. And so, you know, the mask that has an aquiline, a straight nose and...
Well, right. And that's what we would really expect from a real Roman.
Yes.
you know, that Roman nose thing is Jewish propaganda. It's really a Jewish nose. It's not a Roman nose at all.
Yeah.
And Rome's population was in the Gothic invasions of Rome, Rome's population was actually pared down to what seemed to be maybe a couple of hundred people at most during the Gothic Wars with Justinian. Yeah, you know, with Justinian armies. Belisarius, the wars between Belisarius and Totila. Totila being the Gothic, the great Gothic. And there was another Gothic chieftain before him that was the primary target of Belisarius. And I don't have his name on my head like I do Totila. But Rome's population, according to Procopius, was as few as a couple of hundred people. And if that, I mean, it was... The city was in dire straits. It was practically gone.
And
that's why it's, when you read that account, you'll find the two beasts of Revelation. You will find how fitting it is to describe one as having been revived from another whose deadly wound was healed.
Healed.
And that's really profound. Well, once you understand the history of Rome in that period, when the Goths invaded Italy, they really, really decimated large parts of Italy. And people fled to other places all over. Or were taken and enslaved and various other faiths. Hello, Dorcas.
Are you hearing you? Yes,
I was slovenly and forgot to turn her microphone on. Hello, Dorcas. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm glad you made it.
I'm sorry you had a hard time today, and I'm glad you made it. And next time will be a lot smoother, I hope. The way they're always upgrading this software, it's hard to tell, right?
Yes. Keeps you on your toes, doesn't it, really?
Well, yeah, it keeps me on my toes. I've got to recreate all the channels now because we updated the server.
Oh, dear. What a lot of work.
And anybody that had avatars or anything like that is going to have to repost them.
Oh, I don't know what that means, actually.
Oh, you can make a little picture for yourself. Yeah, you know, so when people click on your name, they can see the picture. It
really?
Doesn't have to be a picture of you, but, yeah, you could post a little picture. But wait until next time, because next time I'll have the settings. Right now the settings are restrictive for the size of the picture, right? And I'll increase the settings as soon as I get the chance.
Wow. It's incredible, isn't it? What's
happened to Bavaria, man? He's dropped out, has he?
Yes, I believe he has.
Perhaps I finally answered
Anna DeLange. DeLange, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, right?
Anna DeLange. DeLange.
Anna DeLange. Okay, that's more like it in German, right? Or I know
well,
it's Dutch, but it's
Dutch,
still it's still 80% German or 90% German. it's still German in flavor. I finally answered her, and I had just sent that off. Not even an hour before the program.
Yeah, I saw it, and I haven't actually looked at it because I was trying to sort this TeamSpeak out.
Well, I could really, I'll use this occasion to read the main points in it if you want to hear it.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Anna asks if Kane is, let me say that her line of questioning, it is the same line of questioning that people like Ted Wieland have been using for years, right? And it's easily defeated, except that they are too stubborn to want to look at all the other evidence, right? Because they believe what they want to believe. And I'll bet that I'd be surprised if that was not Anna's response. But if Cain is seed from the devil, she asks, what does Eve saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord in Genesis 4:2 say mean? Her grammar's not perfect, right? It's an email. I'll forgive that. And my answer to that is that it's highly demonstrable that Genesis 4:1, which is what she means, it is a corrupt verse. And that early Hebrew readers understood that verse to be corrupt, and therefore they attempted to fill in the missing words for themselves, which we now have several versions of in the Aramaic Targums. And it doesn't matter whether or not one wants to accept the concepts found in the readings of the apocryphal literature or not. Because the grammar of the verse is corrupt, it would be dangerous to imagine that Cain was a son of Adam based upon this single corrupt verse, and without second or third witnesses. And in fact, many other scriptures clearly refute that Cain is a son of Adam. And I pointed her to the Clifton's paper on his website, The Problem with Genesis 4:1. And if she wants to read it, she goes and reads it. And if she doesn't want to see the evidence, well then shame on her. I'm sorry.
Also, in the Targum, I think it refers to having got a man from the angel of the Lord, which could be, would be Satan, wouldn't it?
Well, the Targum, it's more explicit than that, but she could go read the paper, right? The Targums reflect the fact that one of the fallen angels did father, and it's very explicit, and that they did father Cain. It's extremely explicit in the Targums. Now, her second question is, aren't angels and demons spiritual beings? Isn't it so that spiritual beings cannot procreate as they do not carry seed like us humans? Now, this is entirely conjecture on the part of the naysayers, right? She says they may sometimes take the appearance of humans, but they cannot create. Now, my answer is that these are her own words, and that angels that angels are merely spiritual beings and cannot procreate. That's her words. Those concepts are not supported by Scripture. Many people point to the words of Christ as they are found in Matthew 22:30 or in Mark 12:25. And in those places, Christ says that the angels which are in heaven do not marry. He doesn't say that they cannot. He says that they do not. The angels who visited Lot were certainly considered to be the objects of lust, deemed desirable for carnal pleasure by the men of Sodom. So they were very much human, right? And furthermore, the sons of heaven, in some manuscripts, and I pointed to my paper, The Problem with Genesis 6:1-4, which explains this, that the sons of heaven in Genesis 6:1-4 had no problems mating with the daughters of men, and that word is Adam, and through which... Through those unions, the Rephaim were born. Why do they accept? Yeah, you know, most theologians even accept angel-human relationships in Genesis 6, and then they reject it in Genesis 3. And basically, that's what she's doing. Her third question, if Satan, as a creation of God, has created the beasts of the field and the Canaanite, Edomite Jews, does this mean that God is only half creator and has got limited power? Now, she likes to extrapolate and a whole lot of things that just aren't in Scripture and are not scriptural. And she goes on to say that he is, by consequence, not all-loving, almighty, omnipresent, omniscient, but in reality is a fallible God. And my answer to that is, Yahweh created both men and angels with free will. If we abuse that gift which he has bestowed upon us, how can we blame him for our abuse? How can we accuse him of being fallible because we ourselves have sinned? There are clearly peoples here on earth who did not come from Yahweh our God. And therefore, Christ said, quote, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Christ also informed us in Matthew chapter 13 that it was his enemy who sowed the tares among the wheat. Yahweh mentioned strange plants which he had not known as early as Jeremiah chapter 2. Paul tells us that there are sons and there are bastards in Hebrews 12:8. Yahweh's first law is kind after kind. When man violates that law by creating bastards, is it meet pass the blame to Yahweh our God? Does Diabolos not mean false accuser? This is why the goat nations are destined for the flames of eternal destruction, Matthew 25:41. They exist in violation of Yahweh's law. Neither is Yahweh all-loving, which again are her own words. He has told us that he hated Esau, and Esau was a fornicator who despised his birthright. If Yahweh has hate, we cannot describe him as all-loving in the context of loving all. Well, which I didn't add to that paragraph, but maybe I certainly should.
Mm.
Question 4. 1 Corinthians 15:28 states that at the very end, everything is subjected to him, and then the Son himself will also subject himself to the Father, who put all things under him, so that God may be all in all. And she asks, what does all in all mean? Just Israelites? If that is the case, are all the other peoples who are non-Israelites, Jews, heathen, blacks, Chinese, Indians, etc., doomed? Also, believing Christian non-Israelites? And I'm not sure what she means by that. Doesn't this mean that in the end, Satan, a created being, prevails, and God, who is creator, loses from a creation of his? Well, her first problem there is that she presumes that God created everything. But let me give my answer, Chris. Answer 4. Reading the Bible, one cannot read it a verse at a time and arrive at any sort of honest conclusion. The subject of Paul's discourse in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is found where he begins at verse 1, quote, now I explain to you, brethren, unquote. And the subject of the entire discourse which follows is related there and at verses 3 through 5 where it states, for you are among the first that I had transmitted to, that which I had also received, that Christ had been slain for our errors in accordance with the writings, and that he had been buried, and that he was raised the third day in accordance with the writings, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Since only those under the law could be found to have been in error or sin, since error is defined as transgression from the law, and since only Israel needs to be redeemed under the law, then all, in verse 28, can only mean all Israel in the context of the chapter, where it does not mean all things, as sometimes the Greek explicitly does. It can clearly be demonstrated from Scripture and history that the Corinthians were a portion of the dispersions of Israel, for which see a strikingly clear example at 1 Corinthians 10:1. I go on to tell her that you also assume that Yahweh our God created the non-Adamic races, yet you cite not one word of Scripture by which to establish such a premise. The Adamic race consisted only of white people, and they descended from Noah originally, as they descended from Noah originally, and there is not one scripture by which you can establish that the non-white races were created by Yahweh our God. Furthermore, since only Israel is included in the New Covenant, why would you even care for the other races, since Yahweh God commanded Israel to be a separate race and a peculiar people? Even in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2:9, we're expected to remain that way. Both Matthew chapter 25 and the Revelation tell us clearly that at the day of Joshua Christ, many of the things that he does subject are destined for the lake of fire, which is the second death. Therefore, we certainly cannot hold out the hope of salvation to people whom the Bible does not explicitly offer it to. And the Bible only explicitly offers the hope of salvation to Israel. She asks me in question 5, do you believe in ultimate reconciliation? And I answer, the phrase ultimate reconciliation does not appear in Scripture, and therefore, we do not believe in it. We do not put our faith in man-made constructs. Rather, we put our faith in the Word of Yahweh our God. All of Israel is to be forgiven, saved, and redeemed. No other people have those promises, and since bastards are excluded, and those races which have no genealogy from Adam are never included, we ourselves dare not attempt to add to the word of Yahweh. Clearly, there are vessels of mercy mentioned in Scripture, and there are vessels of destruction mentioned in Scripture. The Gospels, the prophets, and Paul all identify these groups for us. We urge you to stop confusing them. We would hope, Mrs. DeLanga, that you investigate our answers honestly and also take the time to read the papers which we have suggested. That's it. That's my answer. Okay, I guess that'll submit in a while of comments.
I suppose there is one sort of thing that wasn't made quite clear. The other Adamites, although they won't be part of the kingdom, they're still sons of God.
Well, right. And I didn't have to go into that because she didn't have to go into that. He didn't go into it, so I didn't have to. But that still doesn't dilute the promises to the other races. That there, Clifton wrote an excellent paper, 9 Covenants with Adam Man, and only the last several of those covenants had to do with Israelites specifically.
I feel it's encouraging that she's emailed you to ask those questions.
Well, it might be, or she may have done it just because she was smarter than the average bear. But yeah, hopefully she emailed me with honest inquiry, and she'll look into the things that I've said. Hopefully.
Yes. Yes, she did email me and said, I just sent her something down that I thought she'd be interested in. And she thanked me and said, although we've got different opinions, she's very anxious to be friends and so on. So I feel that this is the next step if she's
emailed you. I really do hope. I would rather have people inquiring that then people alienating themselves, of course, but we understand with the hard line of Scripture which we hold that people are more apt to alienate themselves, right?
Do you know, it is quite a shock when you first hear this. I mean, I can say that it was to me, but the more I studied into it and particularly Clifton's little his early letters, the truth is not obvious. It's not spelt out plainly to you when you first read your Bible because of all the mistranslation. But you have to dig and search for these things.
Well, that's why we're told that we have to knock. I mean, if the truth was out there in the world, we wouldn't have to knock, would we?
No.
It'd be laying all around us. We just have to pick it up like people pick up pick up a TV and turn on John Hagee.
Yes.
They wouldn't have to go knocking. It's right in their faces every day.
John Hagee is
right in their faces every day.
Yes. The trouble is we've all had an easy path. You think just what you're told is this, and you just read a little verse. But really, you've got to put some hard work into it. And I think maybe this will open up that vista to her that she's got to now study and work on Scripture. And
I hope so that she takes it as a... as an honest answer, and she investigates and goes into my site, Clifton's site, and recommended papers.
I sent some papers to some couple that used to come to Chrissy's Bible study at Orange Street, and I sent them the 14 lessons of Bernard Comprey, you know, of Revelation. I said, if you don't wish to have it, could you send it back? Or if you do wish to read, you know, keep it. I haven't heard anything from them. They've had it about 2 weeks. So you're never quite sure with people, are you, whether they're going to take it or not. It takes time. It's, you know, it's not an instant thing, is it? That's what I found.
Well, it does take time, and I... You know, when I learned 2C line back in 97, I struggled with it in my own mind for about 2 years. And I couldn't, after a certain amount of time, I couldn't not believe it. Even though I still debated it in my mind, I couldn't not believe it. I just couldn't.
No.
It's the only thing that made sense.
Yes, that's what I feel. I feel that.
That's why I endeavored to learn Greek.
Yes. Wonderful.
So I could read the scripture firsthand for myself.
Mm.
But we always have nuts in the world. There's nuts all over the world. I had an email this afternoon. Let me see if I could dig it for. Here it is right here. It's from, I won't mention his name. This is from a good guy. And he says, "Greetings, Bill. Somebody sent me this." Quote, "The oldest manuscript and not the original word of God. The original OT is under the Vatican and it's all numbers." Unquote. Does this, and person that sent me this asks me, does this have any merit? I think I'm going to finally cut this guy off. I can't take too much more of this. And I answered him, and I told him basically that I thought the guy was nuts, and it's probably a good thing that he did cut him off. Some people are just irretrievable. I told him I'm looking for my answer, right? Here it is. Jeff, this guy is obviously a total lunatic. I would ask him to prove it just for sport. I would bet that all paths lead back to some Jew. And that's my, that's what I believe. You hear stories like that, and people believe them, and they take them, and they run with them. And it's almost always some Jew lie, some Jewish deception laying behind it.
Yeah.
According to this guy, he has no substantiation for it. He just asserts that the original Bible is all numbers and it's under the Vatican. I don't know what good that would do us. I don't know why they call it the Word of God. They should call it the formula of God or something. Maybe the mathematical equation of God.
It is numbers, isn't it? Because Hebrew has a numerical value, so you could say from that point of view, it is in numbers, but it's written in understanding as well.
Yeah, you know, people are always looking for that secret esoteric knowledge that's going to be a cure-all to them. And those people are never going to find it. They always look for the secret esoteric knowledge and ignore what's laying right in front of their faces. And what's laying right in front of their faces perfectly explains history. The Bible is the only book that perfectly explains and gives all the reasons for all the events which happened in history. No other book does that. No other book could possibly do that.
Well, a lot of that Kabbalah thing comes from the Jews, doesn't it? These secret codes in the Bible, you know.
Well, absolutely. It's all Jewish.
But on the other hand, I don't dismiss numbers. I think they're very important. You know, they are put there for a purpose, and they do have a meaning. But, I mean, people put wrong constructs on them.
And the day that it's revealed to us the meanings of some of these numbers, like the 153 fish, right? Well, why is it 153? I have no idea. The day it's revealed to us, it'll be clear as a bell, and we'll know that God is true. But until it's revealed to us, well, we'll be disputing it. And I think when it is revealed to us, we'll know it's right. There won't be any way to dispute it.
I've always been taught there's 153 casings to the pyramid. That's where they got that 153 from, but I don't know whether that's true or not. I've never.
Well, I don't know whether or not it's true either. And you know, the casing stones of the Great Pyramid were destroyed by the Arab mongrel Egyptians after a Cairo earthquake in the 9th or 10th century, I forget. But they needed stone to rebuild Cairo, and instead of going and quarrying fresh stone, they broke up the giant casing stones on the pyramid.
Mm-hmm. And I understand the casing stones were limestone, so it was quite a spectacle. It was a shining white for miles and miles away.
Herodotus said that the Great Pyramid shined like a gem in the desert. That's what he said.
So they destroyed it.
Yes, they did. Those mongrel bastards destroyed it. Today they've realized that that they could make money off tourism, so now they claim it. But 1,000 years ago, they were destroying it.
Mind you, it's such a massive structure. Unfortunately, they couldn't. It was impossible for them to destroy it all.
Well, right. But I'm sure they would have if they could have had it all. The casing stones break up by lighting fires on the surface and then pouring water on them. There's a limestone quarry a few miles away. They could have got all the stone they wanted if they weren't such lazy, list bastards. So they had to break up one of the world's most amazing monuments.
When you think of all those great libraries that have been destroyed, and I mean, even the museum in Iraq was destroyed just recently, all those artifacts, they don't want them on view. So it's tragic, really. No wonder.
Well, right, because that's really not their heritage. You know, it's only their heritage when they think they can profit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they really don't care about it at all. They'd rather sell it they would much rather sell it on the underground antiquities market, on the antiquities black market, where it's much more profitable.
I did hear that they wanted that stuff removed because Saddam Hussein was going to sort of refurbish the old. I can't think of the word now. He was Nebuchadnezzar's era, and he was going to bring back to life in Iraq all those old places. But and I did hear that museum wasn't broken into really by the local people. It was made easy. Someone just opened the door because there were special keys to it, apparently. And so they didn't want the heritage to be there, so they've just let it go. I don't know who instigated that, but another tragic loss, really, of history.
Well, yes, it is, but we've had many, many tragic losses. It's only stuff, and it's replaceable in one way or another, and soon we'll have the truth, and we won't need the stuff, right?
No. That's what makes it hard for these people to understand the scriptures, you know, like Anna, because it's not plain. It's like if they remove historical things, it makes everybody's work a lot harder. And I mean, some could be lost, and you'd never find the truth of it until the Savior comes back.
Well, we'll have it all. We will have it all sooner or later. We will know, and our people, well, we do know, our people will know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, heritage is quite important, really.
And we should be doing more archaeological excavation in Iraq. And we're not.
No.
But the Jews like being in control of all that anyway. So that they can spin it. So that they can twist it whatever way they like.
Yes. The Ishtar Gate, I think that was it. He was going to redo that. He wanted to renew Iraq's heritage and build up those things. The Ishtar Gate is in Berlin. It's not in Berlin. No, that is what's that big gate in Berlin?
Well, London Bridge is in
Brandenburg,
isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. You know, all those. You insist.
We're talking across purposes, Icelander, because the gate in Iraq, he actually rebuilt it, but it's not the one you're referring to in Berlin.
No. I think he's...
Let's say that a reconstruction of the Ishtar Gate and the processional way was built at the Pergamum Museum in Berlin out of material excavated by Robert Coldaway and finished in the 1930s.
It was erected in Berlin, that particular...
Right.
Yeah. But this is not the one we're referring to.
But evidently this archaeologist just picked up the bricks, right?
Oh, right.
And tried to rebuild it in Berlin. But because it was laying the heap in Iraq. I mean, that's the thing. The Arabs, they don't care about culture because it's not their culture. They only care about it when they think they can make some money off it.
Mm.
Then it's theirs, then they want it. Typical bastard children.
Yes. So really, it's only the Israelites that have got this heritage.
This stuff sat in the desert. 2,000 years in dust heaps, 3,000 years in dust heaps, they never cared about it. They see all those American and European tourist dollars coming in, then all of a sudden they care.
Yes, that's true.
Probably the only real reason why the Jews want Kaikistein, why they want to maintain control of Jerusalem. So they could keep duping Christians and collecting their money, the fools that go over there and spend it.
Yes. Well, I've been there 2 or 3 times and spent my money.
Well,
there.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It does bring the Bible to life a bit when you go.
Well, I could see the attraction, but I wouldn't give them a dime. I couldn't do it. I'd jump off the roof first, except I only live in a 1-story ranch. So what else is going on today? We're getting a lot of feedback about that new Ensign site, aren't we? It seems to me that there's been about 1,000 visitors a month the last 2 months, so it seems to be doing pretty well.
It's an amazing increase, that, on its earlier days, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm going to keep on. Well, Pilgrim has been posting documents to it, and I'm going to try to get more material to it as every month, try to get something new there.
Good.
I took the liberty of putting up a memorial to the brother of a very dear friend of mine, a man who wrote me all the for years in prison. His name is Martin Keyes, and he's from Northern Ireland. He's there now in Northern Ireland.
Right.
Having
by the way, Bill, Matthews just phoned me to say he got knocked out and he wouldn't connect him, so I've told him, you know, to click on help and do the download.
That's awfully strange.
Yeah, because I wondered how he got in without doing the download.
Well, he was here since 1 o'clock. He was here an hour early. And he had no problem talking that entire time.
Perhaps I've only just made it that you got to. They probably just altered their server, perhaps, you know, very late on, just before we logged in, perhaps.
No, we installed the server software ourselves, Chris. We installed it this morning.
No, I meant the new upgrade.
Yeah, we installed it this morning.
No, I mean, who's logging in?
Matthew.
I mean, whether they have it applying to different countries at different times, I don't know.
No. All this server software is under my full control.
Well, the updates.
It's all totally autonomous, and it's under our full control. And nothing gets updated unless we explicitly update it. I swear, it's a strange situation.
Must be Matthew's old computer.
Right.
Running slow. Perhaps it's got slow processing.
Yeah, well, that's a good trick, to be here for 2 hours.
It's only just realized it was out of date.
The German and the English weren't fully communicating, huh? That's strange. I don't know. That defies explanation.
Are Clifton's new articles ready? Have you had time to proofread or whatever it is that you do?
Well, I have, I proofread. Sometimes I pull things apart. And I have Ron Wyatt, Honest or Deceitful Liar, or Full Fraud, 4, 5, and 6, sitting on my desktop ready to be posted onto his site. And I have his latest 2 Watchmen's Teaching letters lined up to get proofread tomorrow and Sunday.
Oh, I'm preparing mine sitting there.
Or Saturday and Sunday, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I look forward to that.
Bill, I think Bavaria Man's in. I don't know if he's got access. I see he's got a cross by his...
No, he's fine now.
Oh, right.
He's fine now?
Yeah. What happened, Bavaria Man?
Oh, these outlaws. I all of a sudden couldn't get any connection with the server. And what is this? Now, then I finally could find the telephone number of Chris to find out I have to... pin on help and then get the changes in. Oh, that's what I did, and it takes a few minutes and then it's all
well,
right.
Since the server was long updated.
They cut me off from the net.
Yeah. Since the server was long updated before you got here, it's an anomaly how you were here then.
That's exactly. That's
you were
why.
Here for an hour and a half and you weren't supposed to be.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
So you'll have to tell us how you pulled that off.
Yeah, well, just touch in help, print in help, and then he is saying that, what is it? Then you can find out what are you saying then? Check for updates, yeah. No, then I took the updates and he's doing it, and that's it. Stupid. Very stupid. Okay, we are back again. Hey.
Well, You could look, if you want to, you could right-click on the Chris Stegenian main forum channel and click Open File Browser, and you'll see a Rankings folder there, and you click on that, and you'll see 3 files. Chris Stegenian today was ranked by Alexa.com 553,592 in the world.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I started out, when I first had my rankings checked on Alexa... My website was about 6 months old, and it was like number 13 million in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're way into the top million and approaching the top half million. So the site's really moving up and really picking up.
Yeah,
that's good, Bill.
Okay. That's right.
Very good. Thanks.
And it's way far ahead of all the other Christian identity sites by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, it looks so.
I think the only one that comes close might be Israel Elect, and that's like 1.5 million usually.
Now, who's Israel Elect? Is that Eli?
No, no. Israel's close too. Israel, I mean, Eli's AngloSaxonIsrael.com. He was in the top million, Eli, for a little bit, and now he's dropped lightly out of it, but not by much. And I'm sure that I haven't checked him in a couple of weeks, but he was like 1,006,000 or something like that the last time I checked. But yeah, he spent a lot of time in the top million the last 2 months, so.
True, it is
moving up. They are moving up. And it will continue to move up, I think, as more people come looking, because people are searching. I really get the feeling that a lot of people are searching. I get that feeling when I look at my my search engine hits and the search engine terms that bring people to my website, right?
Yeah.
And they've really expanded. There's almost 1,200 search engine terms that have brought people to my website at one time or another. So people really are searching. They really are trying to. Eli is in the top million now. He's 995,870. So he's just into the top million, and we're gonna keep moving up.
I'm sure. So much the better. Good. Good to hear. Good to see.
So that's my constant good news for the month, because we've been moving up. Chris DeGhenny has been moving up quite rapidly.
Yeah.
We're getting to the top, to what I consider the four websites I have the most care for, or actually three, are the New Ensign site and the MindComp site and my main site. Now Clifton's site's important to me too, but I don't roll Clifton's statistics up in my Google Analytics. Okay, my Google Analytics I keep track of only count my main site, the New Ensign site, the forum, and the Mein Kampf site. Chris DeGhenny is getting almost 400 hits, between 350 and 400 hits, almost every day for the last 30 days.
Oh.
They're visits, actually. And at least 250 unique visitors every day for the last month. So it's really doing well. And I haven't included Clifton sites in those statistics. I get the statistics separately from those little globes at the bottom. Where the the count on the globe is unique. The New Ensign site globe is unique to the New Ensign site, right? And the Mein Kampf site globe is unique to the Mein Kampf site. So that's how I see how they're doing separately.
Okay. All right.
But for Google Analytics, I roll all my top websites up into one, and I've yet to add Clifton's site to it. I'm behind on Clifton's site. It's I can't keep up. I sit down here every day, and I'm here for 12, 14, 16 hours, and I feel like I need 36 hour days or something, right?
Yeah, like that. Double the time, man. I know what it is.
Yeah. The days just evaporate. They go quick. I wish I had the days I had when I was a kid, when an afternoon seemed like forever, right? Remember those days?
Yeah.
I had the whole afternoon. I got the whole afternoon. I could go do this and that and that. I can't do anything in an afternoon.
It's over so fast. I remember that from the strip stories. They had little books with these strip tour stories. Oh, and it took a whole Wednesday afternoon for one such a booklet. It takes me now 3/4 of an hour, and then I'm finished. In those days, in an afternoon, that was ages. But when you're thinking about it, it's over.
Right, absolutely. That's crazy.
That is today's times.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I put a video on the New Ensign site this month, Bill Gates Exposed, and it's under vaccination updates, under health and science. And this video, the billionaire Bill Gates has been funding vaccination programs for many years now.
Yeah.
And in this video, he admits that the vaccination program shall be used to reduce global population by 10 to 15%.
Yeah, madness. Yeah.
And that's a criminal conspiracy. If that was me, yeah, I'd be in federal prison in a minute. The day I posted this video on the New Ensign site, it was announced that Bill Gates bought 1 million shares of Monsanto.
Yeah.
This guy, here's a guy that has, in this video, openly professed a plan to use healthcare and vaccines to reduce world population, and now he's buying food companies. Something's up with that. Don't take the vaccines and don't eat Monsanto.
Eat
out of your garden, not from the supermarket.
Every chance you can. I always try to buy farmers markets first or read out of the garden. The hell with this market.
Yeah. You better take it from your own garden. That's best of all. Yeah.
Yeah, when you can. I mean, today, this year, my whole tomato crop was wiped out last year from blight.
Yeah.
And this year, about 80% of it was wiped out. I can't grow tomatoes here. 2 years in a row. Pity.
Well, the weather is changing badly.
And also, it's probably what they're spraying as well in the air from these chemicals.
Who knows what they're spraying? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anything can come down. So you better have it on your own balcony somewhere closed. I got a booklet or an information, maybe from Wolfgang, I think it was. A long story about how you can preserve yourself, even on your balcony, or whatever small area to grow up, whatever you can, against the walls or on the smaller surfaces. And really, it is a good idea for everybody anywhere, even in apartment houses, or if you have a little garden, you better use it for safety and all.
I've got a window box.
Okay.
I'll have to use that.
Well, I have it even in my kitchen in front of the window where a little stuff is growing. It works fine, and every day I'll clip off some of these green plants and put them on the cheese. The works are fine, tasting very well. And next week, Chet Weisman is here with Ben, her husband. And a new box is growing right now for next week. Oh, by the way, I did clean out the house now, so far as I could, because next week when Chet is here, then I'm going to discuss with her the conference room and eventually what's to be checked to that and whatsoever. She might have good ideas. But within a year, you can do a lot, but it is quickly over. And then we better have the conference room and the house stand by for the whole conference. And we'll be fine. So we'll be a busy week next week.
Well, you've got your cherry wine going. That sounds good.
That's correct. The only thing which is a drawback, after all, is I only have 8% alcohol in it.
That's just
12%. It's enough.
I think so.
But it gives. Yeah, normally spoken. But then there is still some sugar in it, and that makes a sweet wine, more or less a kind of Greek wine. They like sweet wines. But that's the awkward thing of honey. When you're putting in honey, it will ferment. But all of a sudden it stops, but there is still sugar in. That's an awkward thing. And I tried to restart it with all kind of methods. It refused. So I'll keep it just for itself, and it settles. And from January on, I'll suppose, and it is a bit sweet wine. Okay, now, it's cherry wine. It's still there. It will do. But the worst thing is sugar is to be killed with all kind of poison that it doesn't ferment anymore. And now you have to have these special sugars. They have, you can buy them, these invert sugars, etc. But that's hell expensive. Yeah, then it's cheaper to buy a bottle in the shop. That's a real problem now. But okay, I'll do what I can. But that's only a detail. Wines, etc., and all kind of refreshment drinks, that's no problem in here. That's all available. Even water from the Black Forest I can get in 2 liter, yeah, 2 liter flasks. So we can get all we need to survive. We'll make it. The only thing is, what we have to do all together is finding what kind of stories we are going to tell during the conference. And that's up to anybody. But never mind, we will make it. Yeah, we will have that fun next year. And what time exactly is what we have to discuss by time. It depends on anybody's holiday time or whenever they can. But it is in August, somewhere in August. If it is early in August, it could be still hot here, and by the end of August, it is mediocre weather, and it must be possible. Now, today's time is also very well, so by that time about. But that's for next year. We can discuss it at any time. But we are doing our best. Yeah. All right.
Perhaps Bill may have to do a broadcast like he did to Bex Hill to Bavaria.
Excellent idea. Very good idea. I don't mind. Maybe
well,
Eli.
Well, yeah, we just work out a topic, that's all.
Yeah. And we can do that via Skype. That means you can have a look inside of the conference room like we had in Bex Hill.
Yeah, but I'm hoping by something a little better that I could record the video too, right?
Okay. All right. That's what we can do. No worry. It takes a year. Still time enough. Yeah.
Anyway, I believe you've already started preparations, haven't you? For very best.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I have to clean out. The conference room, Yeah?
I can sympathize with you. I know what it's like.
Yeah. But this is far more worse. But the only interesting thing about it is, when it's done, it's done. And that's important. When I have no absolute reason for doing it, it stays, and it stays still full. And it's better that it is finally finished than I have in a library. That was the main library, and we can make the library as a conference room. I can get easily on both sides of the tables. I can get at least, well, it says in one row, 10 people. Oh, yeah, one row, 10, and the other is at maximum 20 to 25 people. That's about the limit. That must be possible. So we will see how far we will come. And
so you got,
I'm sure still searching around. I can't find him. Yeah? So you've got?
You've got more capacity than I have.
Now, the room is a bit longer. Not so much. It's a bit longer. I think it's about... Well, I have it here. It's downstairs. It's the living room, 6 meters. And multiply that by 3, and you get 18 feet. And it's upstairs here, a bit deeper, because the corridor, the hallway is included. That makes it some 7 to 8 meters. Say 7 for safety. This season is 21 feet deep.
Oh,
that's not
slow.
Too bad. That'll do. Yeah, that's the lucky thing. And you have the projection that we can do on the wall or on the screen, whatever. We can put it in. For I have it all. And I have a silver screen, I have a white screen, I have a large screen. All remains from the company. That's not too bad. You can't do that. But I have such a projector, the special projector, which you had one, but I had one from Siemens. But I don't know where it is placed now. I can't find it. I have been searching for it, but it must be somewhere. And,
so I better bring mine in case you can't find it.
I don't know. Well, that's entirely dependent whether you're coming by car or by plane. By car, it's no problem. By plane, is an extra load.
Yeah.
It could be, but it's dependent. By car, it takes about 2 days, I would say. Maybe less, but But then you have to have a few persons more on board, otherwise it's too expensive. But if you have two or three persons on board of the car, it's cheaper by car. That is right. But okay, that's just dependent on how it's going. Yeah, but you only have to, you have to take care of the train cost, or the tunnel, the journal.
Oh yeah,
it's not that cheap, I think. Remember?
Well,
that's
well,
the awkward thing about it.
It's cheaper on the ferry if you're going by car, I found. Only time it the tunnel's cheaper if you're going sort of some unearthly hour, 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that. Some.
Well, if you go 1 o'clock in the morning, then you can indeed in the evening be in Schoenstatt. That is possible.
Yeah. If we can keep
and
awake.
Yeah. But then you need at least two drivers in the car. That is right. Yeah, that would be better. Oh, yeah, okay. We can solve that by time. But because of the projector, we mustn't do it, but because then I'll find you somewhere some kind of projector. But I have them at home. I took it from the company. It was in home here. I checked the sticks. And I thought it, the thing was out of order, but I'll have to have the type number and the manufacturing name, and then I can find out whether I can get documents of it. And if I have it, then it must be possible to use it if it's not broken. So that's where I have to look for. But it's just a detail. I can find that. We will be able to come out of that problem. But it will be a great pleasure to have everybody in here, whoever is possible to come over. Yeah, either via Dover, but otherwise by plane or whatsoever. Yeah, and there is a lot to be seen. I have a complete library, so if somebody wants to dive in the library of my father with all these scriptural things, it's all there, no problem. It's all open and free. Yeah. So
also, you might like to mention, Matthew, you sent those maps of the German tribes, you know, to put on Paul's censuses book.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The two maps from, oh, where's the little booklet? I have it here, yeah. That's the Atlas of the World with ancient maps from long bygone days. And there is one book. Two pages, page 30 and 31, and there you can see the names of the tribes, the Germanian and Celtic tribes' names here in Germany, the old names, and where they were spread out. And that's what we want to add to the book of Paul Sensius, for he is talking about names and places wherever is there. And these maps, they were very fine. And you could easily see and identify who is who and where of these old tribes. It's very interesting. I was lucky that I found that booklet. I had it for years at home. And because I was cleaning out the living room, I stumbled over that booklet. I said, hey, let's have a look. And I was going to sit, and then I opened it up, and I said, hey, here I have something of Germany. This is very interesting. And I'll send it immediately to Chris. That's very kind of fine. If anybody is interested, can send them over. I have it now on the computer, so I can send it by email straightforward. But if somebody is interested, he can get it straightforward. It's in color, so it's not too bad at all. And there are even more old maps. If somebody is interested in an old map from running.
That Sensius project, I still have to get my act together with that. I did get through it once and proofread a lot of the Hebrew, but I have to double check that. And then I have to go proofread all the German.
Yeah.
Oh, you can and make sure that's right. And it's a lot of work. So I don't know when I'm going to be able to get back to
it. Yeah, we know that work.
Yeah. It may not be as much work as it was to translate it, but I want to get it straight. Yeah, you know, I want to get it right.
Yeah. Plus the peculiar remarks which are in, of which you have to say, well, I can only give
you the German text has to be compared to the scanned pages to make sure it's accurate. Yeah, you know, I want it accurate so that it's searchable. And if you want to volunteer to do that, Matthew, you're more than welcome.
I know it.
Well,
Yeah, Mikkel.
I mean, presumably if Bill could, you know, do the Hebrew and the Greek, we can fit it into the German without Bill having to bother himself with the German.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
Well, I've only gone through the Hebrew one time that's in the German copies and corrected it. I want to go back and double-check it, though, because there's a lot of places where the Rosh and the Vav are very easy to confuse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, so I want to double-check that again, especially those letters, right?
That is right. Okay.
I checked the Greek, too, along the way and repaired a lot of that. But I want to double-check it one more time, and then once I get that all corrected, I'll transfer those corrections to the English.
Right. Okay. Okay, that is correct.
To correct the Hebrew and Greek fonts in the English. But there's also a lot of errors in the German, yeah, you know, from the scanner that haven't really been corrected yet. I did make a few changes, things that were obvious that I happened to catch, but I haven't really checked the German. But it's got to be checked. But it's an ongoing project. If it takes a year, it takes a year.
Yeah, yeah.
I was while you guys were talking, I was looking at some of these new Ensign downloads, and there must be a lot of people coming on the new Ensign site that don't visit my main Christigenia site.
Hey.
And that's because I was looking at some of these programs I posted there, and this British Israel World Federation, the Jews, Judah, and DNA program I did with Clifton, that has over 1,700 accesses on Christigenia. And on a new Ensign site, it has another 756 people have accessed it. Over and above, so that's over 2,400 accesses. But I mean, that's popular on Christigenia, but it has 733 downloads and 23 plays from the new Ensign site. And that's a lot. I'm astonished.
Yeah.
And then I went and checked that What is the Bible presentation I did, and that's been downloaded from Christigenia 1,291 times, and it's been played another 50 times. That's 1,340 accesses. And I looked on a new Ensign site, and it's been downloaded. It's been downloaded from New Ensign 1,180 times. I'm shocked. I'm like, where did they come from?
Yeah.
Well, I only posted that on the New Ensign site on August 15th. So I posted it a month after we did it, and that means it has almost 1,200 downloads since August 15th.
Because what we still got to give you, Bill, is a list of links. So perhaps we can have, obviously, links back to your site and.
Right. But we do need a list of links for resources over there. That'd be great. Yeah, you know, decent resources anyway.
Yeah.
That would be great. Put a link.
I'll try and whether Judith's got some. I'll try and cobble some together for you, Bill.
Yeah, right. Let's start a separate links page. Because, I just don't have time to mess too much with links. I have a links page on Christigenia, but I don't pay it any of the attention that I should. I really don't. I should have more links on my links page. But I'm a bum. I'm lazy, I guess.
Yeah, we didn't want to say that. So it happens.
Yeah, well, I'm really happy with the responses that the Ensign site's getting. That's all.
Yeah, I'm amazed.
And people really like the glossy PDF magazine, they like the idea of having that to circulate. I've gotten a few positive remarks concerning that. So, but we have to keep up the good work.
But I hope it all are more or less all the good people who are looking around for this. Because the bad ones could also have access to all this and could disuse it. I hope not. The more people who are listening in, the better it is.
Well, I hope Colin Farker is one of the guys that is one of the 1,200 people that downloaded this podcast, right?
Okay.
Pigs might fly.
Pigs might fly.
Yeah.
Oh, why, Judith?
Yeah.
I had my 3-year-old convinced of that. My youngest son, I had him convinced of that. My second wife used to use that saying, and I got that Pink Floyd album out with the picture on it and convinced my 3-year-old son that pigs fly. And he'd say, "Look, Mommy, pigs fly." pigs do fly,
said,
but most of them go through airport gates. I'm sorry. Yeah, yes.
I was going to say, Mafia confirmed somebody, as they say, somebody said, you have to be careful of that new enzyme crowd.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they warned me. That's why I asked at the beginning of the evening whether Bill hadn't been able to write a letter to the BI, etc. And he said, no, I don't know anything about it. And I said, okay. Then somewhere they got information. And it seems to be that they have been reading, indeed, also the ensign, and I saw my face in, that was recognizable, etc. And so I got a warning, be careful for these identity people. And then I wrote them a letter back, and they said, don't worry about it, because I know a lot of these identity people, and I know the bad ones and the good ones, so you don't need to worry. Yeah.
And,
it was crazy.
And also, he was going to warn them about some of the people they associate with.
Yeah, for there is a... I can't mention his name, that would be wrong, but there is a reverend in England, in an interesting colour church, and that reverend has an extremely interesting background. When you're going to look where he came from or who he was or is, you have to find out that the man is questionable or reverend. Because what kind of organization that is, where he got the denomination from, is very strange. And the one who is backing him up in that organization is a very peculiar Catholic man. A kind of bishop or whatever hell ever it is, and he has so many strange connections, even with the hatred lodges. And,
Masonic lodges.
It's a real trap. The Masonic lodges. And if you are going to join them, that is only trapping. Then you're really in a trap. It's not a Bavarian trap, but it's a beaver trap. If you're in, you're lost. And if you're then more or less the main one of a church, what kind of church is then that? What are they doing? Well, the only thing we can distill about that is simply that they are really willing to kill these churches, the Protestant churches. And that's no strange thing, because I can see that in the Netherlands, where I heard it from Chetter, or from Mrs. So-and-so, and she said, well, here in the north of the Netherlands, they are going to close, in one of these counties, 175 Protestant churches. And I said, yeah, it's crazy then, there's nothing left over, except a few. I said, yeah, so far it is going down, that these people, the churches, nobody is coming in anymore in the churches, because they all know that they are doing strange things, and they're not saying the truth anymore. So she said to the men, whom you spoke about, say, well, have a look at this. This is why it is. And then a man was reading it, and he said, yeah, but then, if I'm going to read then, the church officers are going to kick me out of the church. I may not say that. Said, yeah, okay, then it's end of game. If you have no free speech, then it's over. And that's a real great pity. But that's so it is. We can't change that anymore. And it is indeed in those end day times that it is written, there has never been such a great amount of people who are stepping off from the pure word of God. Yeah, then you can expect anything. And this is what we have to go straight through. It makes us only for us sure that indeed it is now so far. There is no doubt about it. We are really in the end time. And how far we are off from the end time, okay, just fill it in for yourself. Even I don't know. I like to know, but we don't know. So we have to live through every year, and we do it.
Hello?
Matthew?
Yeah.
Did he drop off again?
Oh, no, he's lit up.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, he dropped off again. He probably has to upgrade his software again.
Yeah.
Maybe it just works differently for Germans. It's funny. It's a German company that makes this stuff. But the TeamSpeak is a German company.
Oh, he's back again, Bill.
All the good software companies are in Germany and England now and Scandinavia because nobody's working in America anymore.
I think Bavarian man's muted and he's got red cross by him.
There we go.
Okay,
Matthew, what happened? I was just talking about how this is German software, you know.
Yeah, I'm amazed.
Well, maybe they just don't like Bavarians or something. Maybe they're from Hesse or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. Well, I have to check it in time over the next few rounds. Yeah, it's all new to me, so I can't say much. Maybe they don't really like me. Well, it could be. That's their business. Yeah. Or I'm speaking too long, I think. Oh, yeah. Okay, whatever.
I'm glad you said it. No, I'm kidding.
Have you something very... Yeah. The last time I wanted to say something, we didn't get a chance for it. But I wonder whether I have the real good... Oh, don't fall down. The good book of Joshua I have here. And to my opinion, it must be the right one, but I hope that somebody can clear it up to me. And this is the book of Charles, huh? From the original Hebrew into English by...
The book of Charles.
I think it was translated by Charles. Yeah, it's the book from 1814.
The book of Jasher.
Yeah, but this one is also translated. Yeah, no, this is the book of Jasher. Yeah, all right. And I got in 5 or 6 of these prefaces, and they're all by Jews. And when I read that, my nose is going up and up because I don't like that. No, I'm studying the book, and I'm doing something peculiar because in the last assign, was it the last assign or the forelast? Anyway, I saw it in England. That peculiar list of the ages of the patriarchs, huh? And how old they were, and there was 1,600 years difference in the one and the other, huh? Chris knows all about it.
Showing the chronological differences between the Septuagint and the Masoretic.
Yeah. Right. And now I have here the book of Joshua, and I stumbled over all the names again, and the ages, and the rest. So I thought, hey, let's do it again from Joshua. That may be of interest. So I did, and I have the two lists here, with all these names on it. And page 11, chapter 5, line 15, there's a little star on the side. And then I'm reading something on the footnote, which I really can't accept, because Noah was 100% pure in his downline. So, and now what are they going to say here? I'll better put on these special glasses, makes it even more clear. And I'll quote from it. From this it appears that the offspring of the great pious and illustrious Enoch reserved to be the partner of the just and upright Noah, thereby connecting the best of the family of Cain and Seth together. It was certainly a great age to contract matrimony. But it must be remembered that Noah was then getting on to 500 years, and as he deferred marriage to this exceedingly great age, he looked out for one of his own age. Yeah. I suppose that Enoch's daughter intended living secluded from men, like her father. Until Noah, the best of men then living applied to her. This is ridiculous, because here they say that Noah went and took a wife, and he chose Nama, daughter of Enoch. Yeah, hold it, which Enoch? And this is crazy, because they have here that there is an Enoch in the Cain line, and our Enoch. And to my best knowledge, the one is called Enoch and the other one is called Enosh. Am I right? Am I wrong? What can Bill say about that?
Well, it seems like that they're trying to, they're purposely trying to dilute the two seed lines, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I would say. Because I heard that Naama, that woman I found, and that's not the daughter of Enoch on the Cain line, because it's the daughter of Lamech on the Cain line. So there are three generations in between. But on the other hand, of Seth and Enoch, when he is 65 years old, he gets Methuselah. And after that, he got Elisha, Elimelech, and then two daughters, Milcah and Naama. Only written in a bit different way. That woman will be a wife for Noah, I will definitely believe. Because Methuselah, he also had another son, and it's Eliakim, who got three daughters. And these three daughters were used as wives for the three sons of Noah. Well, this is what I can understand. This is acceptable. But there's a cheatment when they're saying such nonsense in the book of Joshua. Then I'm saying, have I the real right book of Joshua? Is there a better copy or a better thing of, well, I like to have the right book, not rubbish. What's the meaning about that? What can I say and think, and what can I do about it?
Well, first, the book of Joshua, we'll never get a good one, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're just never going to have a good one, Matthew. And the book of Joshua, which I have, and there's actually two books of Joshua. I have the other one around here somewhere, but it's packed away in my prison papers. The other one's very small, and it's an invention by somebody who thought they were slick in Britain in the 1800s, right? That they created their own book of Joshua and put it up for sale, trying to copy portions of scripture and change them around, and it's absolutely horrible. The book of Joshua I have, I think, is translated by Charles, but I'm not positive, because it really doesn't say. And it came from Artisan Publishers, and it is the popular, well-known translation of the book of Joshua that was made in 1840.
1840,
Yes,
yeah,
that's what I have in my hand.
Okay, that's New York, published by Noah and Sons and Gold. Yeah, in the Nassau Street in 1840, in New York.
Well, that seems like the same book of Joshua. Does it have a translator's preface that begins with the words, "The age in which we live has been and continues to be particularly distinguished"? Does it have that translator's preface in it?
I'll open the next page after where it is written in the book of Joshua, in Joshua and 2 Samuel, and then I get the preface. "It is a pleasure that I am able to present to the American public the translation of the book of Joshua." Maybe
is that the translator's preface?
That's a good thing. Oh, there's a translator's preface of you. "The age in which we live has been."
Okay, then that's the same book I have, but yours seems like it's more complete.
Could be.
Because mine doesn't have all those prefaces and all of that in it. However, this book of Joshua, I've read it, and I've made a lot of notes in the margins, and it's definitely a very spurious book. And that's just the way it is.
Okay.
It might have, and we like to think it has a core of truth in it, but it's a very, very spurious book with a lot of bad interpolations.
Yeah,
and I can prove that there are actually parts of the book of Joshua that have the Punic Wars and Caesar's invasion of Britain going on during the Judges period in the Exodus.
So there's
a lot of problems with Joshua. Because we know anybody with common sense knows that the Punic Wars happened 1,400 years after. And Caesar's invasion happened 1,500 years after the Exodus. Not at the same time, right?
It's difficult, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Now, this book was bought by my father on the 19th of May, 1977. So it's a few years in the home. I got it from my father's library. And, now you're saying that it is a troublesome book. But I'm stumbling within that was in 11 pages. I'm stumbling over the most crazy things. Hold this. This is strange. I have to inquire. Okay, but now I understand what's going on. So I know whether I have to read it a bit carefully. But we'll find it. Okay.
Yeah, you have to read it very carefully.
We got it even from Eli. He had also remarks about it. And see, that's a good thing to know. I'll just let it go on by reading. But with cum carusalis, as they say in Latin, was a lump of salt. You have to be careful.
Well, okay. Right. Now, then, you absolutely do with all of that apocryphal understand. Literature. There's a reason why it's apocryphal literature.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And some of it belongs, but a lot of it's been polluted.
Yeah. That means one day there was a good book of Joshua, but then it's lost. Or somewhere in a store where nobody knows where. Under a pile of dust. Who knows? Okay, then we can learn about it. And so I can advise it still, everybody is reading it and understands, hey, what is on here? Now you can see it easily open, that there are some strange things in. And that's what we have to take care of. Well, that's a good way to learn it. Yeah.
Well, I only quote...
All right.
I only quote the Book of Jasher in one place in all of my writing. And that is...
Where is that?
It's not even a quote in my writing. It's actually an add-on to Semitic idioms and Genesis chapter 3. It's kind of like a little afterword or footnote.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You know, at the very bottom on my website of Semitic idioms and Genesis chapter 3. So actually in my writing, except for that, I never quote Jasher.
Yeah.
Now Clifton has quoted it on occasion.
Okay.
And Eli likes it a lot better, right? But Clifton has quoted it on occasion. Yeah. And you know, a lot of these apocryphal books, that they're clearly not canonical, what we can consider to be canonical, but some of them do show that they do show us what Christian attitudes are about certain things and 2,200 years ago.
Yeah. All right. That is right.
Yeah, you know, it's like these testaments of the patriarchs. They have errors in them. They cannot be accepted as canonical. But they do show what Christian attitudes are towards certain topics 2,200 years ago.
Go. Yeah.
Because the testaments of the patriarchs were probably written in the 1st or 2nd century B.C.
Yeah. Now, there must be somewhere a cave with these right books in. I wonder where. Well, it's too dangerous in the Middle East. I'm not going there to dig. Yeah. That's not our country anymore.
No, your name's not Ron Wyatt.
Or Martin Lightfoot.
Yeah.
Martin Lightfoot goes there.
Oh, okay.
Then I'm sure he goes there to Yair Davidy to get more coaching on 1C line.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a splitter bomb or a bullet through my head because of being there.
Well, you're a lot better off at home not giving those Jew bastards your money. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, it would be possible to go to Jordany. That's just beyond. That's still a lot to be seen.
I wish I could go to Germany.
But anyway... Yeah, there's a lot to be seen here and to delve up here. Now we're safe off here for the time being.
I know England won't let me in. They didn't let Martha Stewart in. Or Michael Savage will never let me in.
Yeah. Now you have to fly to Belgium. Then you will come always in. Belgium, they're simply the dummies of Europe, so you can come in there, and from there on you can spread over wherever you want.
Belgium are the dummies of Europe?
Yeah, the most dumb people who are in the world is Belgium.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah, is that true? Is there consensus on that among Europeans? Yeah.
Well, in the UK, they usually refer to the Irish as being, you know, the dumbest.
Yeah.
Yes, all our jokes are based on the Irish.
That's right, yeah. That's right. That's what we have here in Germany, in the south of Germany, that is for the Austrians. Yeah, Austrians always have done it.
I'm not really German and English. I'm part Irish, too, on my German side. So I just beat the shit out of myself every night when I go to bed.
Yeah. But when you're in the Netherlands, you can hear thousands and thousands of these jokes, Belgium jokes.
Well, here in the States, I mean, people from Virginia make West Virginia jokes, and people from Tennessee make Kentucky jokes, and people from Alabama make Mississippi jokes. I mean, that's, you know, it's only natural.
It's how we are.
Yeah. You must have someone.
People from New York make Jersey jokes.
Yeah. But Chris has been in a few times in Belgium and has very good experiences there, so it's not too bad.
So are they really that dumb, Chris?
Well, it didn't seem too bad. I was probably in the wrong part of Belgium. But it's probably the Walloons are probably worse than the Flemish. I think the Flemish are more intelligent, probably, than the Walloons.
Oh, yeah. That could be.
Now, Leon de Grout, great, the great SS general, he was a, the Waffen SS general. He was a Walloon, wasn't he?
Oh, that could be.
I think he was.
Yeah, that's easy. Good. Possible.
It was in the British newspapers, I think a couple of weeks ago, they was talking about it being imminent that Belgium was about to split up, but whether that will actually happen, I don't know.
I really don't know how it's been together in the first place, hadn't it?
Yeah, right. I didn't know how it's been so together so long anyway.
Mm.
yeah. That's right. But they like to come to the Netherlands, these Flemish people. Well, whether the people in the Netherlands are pleased with it, I wonder. But the Flemish like to come to the Netherlands, so that will be 50% of the country for the Netherlands extra, and the rest is going to France. Oh, and a small part is capable of going to Germany on the eastern part. That's right. That will split up the country in three parts. Oh, yeah. If that ever happens, I don't know.
Well, according to Paul Sensitus, was it Jacob's daughters was called Flam, and that's where you get Flemish from. Flam block.
Yeah, Flam block.
Well, where
Flam
the hell
block.
Does he get that from?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
It's in there, isn't it, Matthew? I can't remember it. Well, one had a daughter or was a granddaughter or something.
Oh, yeah, that could be. That's
Jacob's only daughter was Dinah. I want to go by scripture, right?
It might have been somebody else. I might have got that wrong, Bill. But I do remember seeing one of the patriarchs.
Well, I'll be reading it when I can get to it. It's going to happen someday this year, but I can't guarantee when.
Yeah. But he is also talking about the peculiarity here in Bavaria, that they have the most fields here, and that they call that most areas, it's more fields, that's what it is, and that's called most. And then he is saying, that comes from Moses. So they are Levites, the Bavarians. Well, that is absolutely rubbish. Rubbish. No one can believe that who's living here. That has nothing to do with the reality. And Manfred, one of our fellow mates from here, we sent him the copy, original copy of the German version of Stengis. He stumbled over the first four or five pages that he read. He said, "What a nonsense is that?" He said, "Yeah, that's what we want to hear. What are you thinking about it?" He said, "Well, I'll read it by time carefully, and I think the man is saying a real amount of nonsense." He said, "Yeah, that's exactly what we have as experience." Because where he got the information from is unknown to us, but there are some ridiculous things in. And except for the Keith Heuser, that was another story, but we know about. And but
he is combining things that we are saying now. We have to check that with German people who are informed about these original things, and then you might be able to say something more. But I say, on the other hand, it was written in 1931, and that was in the period where it started up that you have to prove yourself to be an Orion. And then they are trying to get any nonsense in to make you an Orion. That is rubbish. It must be the truth. So that gives really things for disclaimers. But we do our best to make the best out of the book. And, it's also extensively used by our, Mr. Crack.
Mikkel Krag.
I don't know his name. I always forget the right name. Yeah, Mikkel. He knows about it. He is using it also extensively, so far as I could see.
Well, I've heard that, David uses it all the time. I'm sorry. I heard that, yeah, David uses it all the time. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
Hey.
What happened? Oh, he dropped out.
But he's back.
Yes, you dropped out again, Matthew. I heard that, yeah, David uses that book all the time. The Sensitius book.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, all is possible, yeah. It could be used by a lot of people, but they have to be careful. It's more or less a kind of Jasher.
Yeah, just like Jasher.
Jasher, yeah. Yeah. If somebody
Bill said earlier it was Germany's answer to the BIWF, who said this only Britain was Israel.
Everybody
has his own meaning of Israel. Yeah. Oh, that is why the women were so upset about it. That we were boosting up more or less Scotland, huh? From the tinted gel, etc. And they didn't like to hear that all. Well, it was nonsense, because it's the truth. It's reality. The Icelanders and the Benjamites, yeah, not only. They are Benjamites, by all means, but not only.
Yeah, right, not only, and they're not the only.
And probably, yeah, right. Probably, I discussed that the other day, yesterday or whatever, with Chris. Maybe even there are Benjamites in the Ukraine. Maybe. It could be. Or are they a mixed or whatever. It is indeed possible, yeah. And we are Irish Celts too. Yeah. That could be. That's not strange. But there are so many of these people who have the whole world connected in Europe, and the rest of us went to America. Yeah. North and Celt mix. Yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah, and partially these Northmen were Benjamites, but far from all. far from they are descendants, and that is a good thing from these concubines of Jacob. And that means that they are from? Oh, Chris, I might remember the names. I'm just missing the names of them. From Bilhah, yeah, that's right, from Bilhah. Yeah, all right, that's one. And there's
the Bilhah Sea, the Baltic Sea.
The Baltic Sea, yeah, all right, that's what it is. So,
that's a stretch also. I mean, that's pretty, I wouldn't go there.
He did on that old German map. It is called that on that map. If you have a look at it, yeah.
Oh, I have to roll off my chair and put the electronica book off. That is going to the bottom of the floor. Come on.
So yeah, but who made the map? I could take a map and put labels on it.
That is so. That is so. Page 30 it was. Indo-Germanians per 22, 36 is too far, 30. Let me see, what's on the top here? Well, the Denmark by itself is not to be seen. The top, the most northern, northerly ones, the Longobards, That is in Schleswig-Holstein.
Yeah.
And the Semnones...
The Langobards are in Schleswig-Holstein?
Yep, they say on this map at this time. And that is in about... When was this? In the Roman period.
Yeah, they say so.
Yeah, well, I can't put the Langobards up there. I'm sorry, I just can't.
Going
by Tacitus.
Yeah, but where do you see them? I have the Chetti in the middle of Germany. And the Cherusci, yeah, right up there. And the Amtsivari, even beyond the Frisians.
Well, I don't have my Agricola and Germania down here, but the next time we do this program, I will.
Okay.
And we'll talk about the Langobards.
And the Cunning Fati, they are in the Netherlands in North Holland.
I probably have a Tacitus map somewhere on my computer, but it's hard to do a search for a map, for a picture.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And the Belgica, they are living in Belgium, yeah, more or less. More or less.
Well, the Belgae has been for since before Roman times, there's no doubt.
Right. That's right.
But they were also eventually put under Roman tribute. And a lot of the Germans, the Germanic tribes who are west of the Rhine, are those that surrendered to Rome or curried Roman favor, and the Romans settled west of the Rhine.
Right.
The Romans, Tacitus describes tribe after tribe how the Romans won their favor and took them and settled them west of the Rhine.
Yeah. The book is
so we have to imagine that the tribes west of the Rhine are the ones that, for the most part, gave Rome their allegiance.
Yeah, that's right.
The Dutch tribes. I see them as, I see the Dutch as Germans who were allied with Rome.
At least the southern part of it, certainly, the Batavia. And these Cannon and Fata, in those days, they had no idea about it. They didn't know about Rome. And the line, Darius, what is that? David 12, oh, Tiberius, 5 now after. Oh, that's where they went to. Yeah, but the Linz line is even on the map. And you can see where it is coming from Norica, up on the Norica. Well, that's about the Donau. Yeah, that must be the Donau. And then going overland. Hey, am I connected?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You're connected. Yeah. And that's where the line is going. You can see the towns along the line. And then east of that, that is north from here in the south of Bavaria, and then the Marcoman, the Marcomanni are living. And that is correct. I know about it. That is what they have been living there. That is still right. Because these...
Hello? Well, we lost them again.
Must be that wonderful German technology.
Yeah, so much for that.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, talk Hello? Power, granted. What kind of nonsense is this? At 10 minutes, what's this?
It's that wonderful German technology.
Yeah,
bring it on Deutsche Telekom, right?
Yeah, I'm going to complain. This is crazy. And disconnected leaving. Oh, there's Power Cracker.
Power Cracker?
Yeah, oh nice. Paul White Cracker.
Power Cracker.
When you're reading, it's too quick that you say it's Power Cracker, yeah. Your wit is then in. Yeah,
that P.O. is a contraction for poor, right? It's a popular contraction for poor. When it's put into that southern context, right? Poe White Cracker. Yeah.
Poe White Cracker.
It's slang, right? Poe is poor.
Oh, we're going to have this.
Poe.
Yeah, you can imagine Negro saying he'd be a poor white cracker.
Yeah, that's a poor white cracker.
Right.
The poor soul. Yeah, all right. But, Bill, didn't you have this map from us by the time... Chris, did you send... Hold this. Oh, yeah. Did you send this map to Bill meanwhile or not?
Well, I might have it somewhere, but I don't imagine the Langobards being... Around Schleswig-Holstein, because that's where Tacitus kind of describes the Angles and a lot of the other Germanic tribes as being. I don't remember him mentioning the Langobards in that area.
Oh, they came afterwards, the others. Yeah, but in the daytimes of the Romans.
Well, Tacitus is first century, and the Langobards are I thought they were more in central Germany before they moved down into what we know as northern Italy.
I have it now on the computer, so I better send you the copy by email. There you have it, and you can check it yourself.
You can put it right here. Just right-click on Christogenia main forum and click on open file browser and drag the file right into there, and everybody could see it, right?
That's a good idea, but I have it on the other computer. And if I put that, that makes it difficult.
well, my mouse, I got a mouse and two keyboards, a mouse and one keyboard for two computers right now.
Yeah.
It's called multitasking, Bavaria man.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, I have more equipment than I can use on the line. For the line power is poor, very poor. That's
obviously, if you added one more thing to it, you're going to crash and we're never going to hear from you again.
You never know.
Well, the way you've been dropping out of here, I mean.
Yeah. The strange thing is that if anything is going well and there is still something problems, but when William from the Netherlands is coming here by about a month's time, then he is going to take another computer to me, which is having XP on it. Yeah, that's right, an XP computer which he doesn't use anymore. That means there's another tower coming in here. Okay, I don't mind. We have four computers on the row here. Yeah, no, never mind. It's the computer room here. It's Mission Control Center. Yeah. Yeah, but putting them all on the line, it's impossible. And the one is going to interfere with the other, and the line doesn't like it. And I have to live with that. But this computer has a bit is less overloaded and has only TeamSpeak and a few other things on it, and that's better. But it works much faster. The other computer, which is on the internet, is so slow in today's time. But okay. But I'll tell you, well, for the next round, we can have it on the line, on the net, and I'll send it to everybody. That's what Chris, can you serve the British people with the maps, or shall I do it?
I can do it, or you do it, whatever you like.
But you have the opportunity to enlarge it a bit, isn't it?
I can do that, yes.
That's maybe better. That's maybe better. For otherwise you have a smaller scale, and I couldn't larger.
Which map are you talking about? The ones you sent me, Matthew?
Yeah, the two of the Germany and page 30 and 31. And maybe the other one of Palestine for 32.
Oh, yes, I can do that.
Yeah, that would be fine. Because you can enlarge it a bit, and I can't enlarge it. That's my problem. At least I didn't see the enlargement possibility on this machine. But you are having tricks for that. That's better.
Yeah. Just... click on the corner and drag it till it gets... long as it's plenty of pixels there, then it doesn't use sharpness.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Oh. Well, that's something I can try as well.
And we can always zoom in.
We can zoom in, a few percent. Yeah, that's right. It is almost full page. But it is better to zoom in. But if you can get it all full screen at once, that will be the best of all. But is it then all Germany in one page, or is it then still the two pages?
Oh, it still would be two pages. I suppose I could cut it. It would be possible to cut it in half and then large those so it's even larger. We could try that.
Yeah, okay, but then you have to scroll up and down over the list because it's too large for the screen. But that could be done.
Well, see what we can do anyway.
Right, anyway. Yeah, but it doesn't need to be right now.
But talking about the Lombard, I just had to take the dog out, but on that Paul Sensitus, he said Baden-Baden came from the Lombard, that its name's derived from Lombard.
Yeah.
Or the Longbeards, as somebody called them.
Longbeards. Yeah, that's right. Longobard means long beards. That's right. That's right.
There you go. I just uploaded a file that's my shows my desk. If you want to see a control center, right? I mean, I got computers all over the place. Just bragging because you would talk about having so many computers online. Yeah, well, you click on that. If you right click on the Christogenia main forum and click open file browser, you can put files there if you want. If you have anything you want to share.
No.
You can upload files to it just by dragging them in there and dropping them. Pretty neat.
When you say open, it doesn't open.
It does.
Mine doesn't.
Right-click on it, and then click open file browser.
Well, I did.
Right-click on the channel name. Right-click on the channel name.
I've done that, and I opened the file browser.
I'm done.
There.
I have open house. Christogenia main forum.
Well, they're two different. If you do it for open house, that's a different that's a different collection of files, right?
Right.
You got to right-click on Christogenia main forum and click open file browser.
Uh-huh. Oh, there on the top, yeah. Okay.
And you could put files in there, and everybody here will be able to download them.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's neat.
Right.
That's
it's just a way to share files.
But my manager, say it on site.
I hear him doing something.
So I just uploaded a picture of my basement workspace, and Icelander uploaded a drawing or something. And I keep screenshots of my site rankings in the rankings folder. Double click on that, and it'll take you in there.
Well, he's not doing very much here. Oh, file browser. No, come on. Okay. Oh, there I have photos, ranking, build space GPG, Gaelic Latin period GPG.
Yeah, I renamed Icelander's file because he it had about a 20 number for a name, right?
And which ones should we, shall we open up now? Ranking photos?
That's screenshots of my site rankings from Alexa and Quantcast.
Okay.
It's not important, but...
All right.
Just in case you wanted to see it. But if you want to upload files to share, that's how you do it.
Okay. Well, Chris is sending over something now, which comes upon this.
Oh, I don't know. Is he?
Oh, I was trying to open yours, and it just wanted to download.
Oh, yeah, well, you have to download it, right?
Oh, you can't see it on the...
No. It's not a Windows file browser. It's kind of graphical, but it's not quite like it's on your own computer, right?
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, you got to download it. You just right-click on it and click download.
That's kind of cool, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah.
I wonder, that probably came with the... I don't know what version that came with, because that wasn't in the version we were using.
Ah,
well, it was, fine. But it's improved. It is.
Oh, okay.
Improved, okay.
I only turned it on recently, Michael. I didn't. The first 3 months I had the server, I never turned it on.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think I finally turned on the permissions for it 2 weeks ago, and then this morning I had to redo them, right?
Well, that's a handy tool if you're trying to carry on a... a show, right?
Definitely.
Yeah,
you could upload files there ahead of time and do all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Upload files.
Well, what else is going on in Britain? No feedback? I haven't heard from Olin Fodler in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, where is he?
Hey, did they implement Sharia law over in Britain yet?
Not quite, no.
Are you guys... So you guys haven't got your burqas yet and all that?
They're all getting excited about the Pope coming. I think he's supposed to be coming today, and then he's going to Westminster Abbey tomorrow.
It'll probably fall down.
Yeah.
Huh.
My belly goes to a synagogue tonight.
Probably, yeah.
Right, right. Good heavens.
See the real bosses.
I closed that one. Okay, here we are. Huh?
I'm sending one of Matthew's files up.
Okay. That means we are going to see it. And then I have to do this again. Size. And then we go open linguist. There. Right. Oh, now I see something more.
I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Oh, don't worry.
Right?
No, okay, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Yeah,
good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Which one shall we open, Chris?
I should have told her we got to get her to stop by. So, you know, this is open 24/7. The server. It's not only for programs, right?
Well, I've got one more to send down yet. Right, I think they should be there now.
Oh, then I must refresh. Two more. Now I have six on the scanned.
That's South Germany.
Let me see. Yeah, I think it is this one.
Can't say it myself. Oh, that's the... it's scanned. It's referring to scanned. It's still got your filed name on it, Matthew. The three with scans on it.
Right, I see now downloading.
Oh, I've got that,
progress.
Yes.
Transfer complete. Okay. And description, download complete, file transfer, right, but I want to see it.
You have to see it in your folder, wherever it's got.
Oh, man, what is this? Now, I'll do it again. Oh, I'll take the other. Yeah, there's the other scan, that, yeah. Now, description. Oh, yeah, download it 45%.
Well, that's good.
Oh, there's that. Shall I send that? Boys,
North Germany. Okay, that's Northern Germany, right?
Yeah. I found the Langobardi now.
Yeah, the top one. That's the Northern Germany. But now I have to open up this. Ah, now the set lock is gone. Here we are. Yeah, it's picture viewer. Uh-huh. That's what? Ping. Nothing ping. An error has occurred in your application. You choose it, you should save your work in a new file. You choose close, you've no terminal. Oh, get the move on.
Still.
It's that German technology again.
All these rubbish things. And I'll take the other. Bing! Call to undefined Dynalink. Application error. Oh. Pop out. All that rubbish.
This is most useful.
I've sent up that Kiffhäuser one. I sent to you one translated from Wikipedia.
Right. Yeah. I'll do it in this way.
Close it is useful, one. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So, scanned. And doing here. Application error. Define Dynalink. What the hell is that? Finally. So, okay. Get this closed, rubbish. So, nah. This. So, I got three ones in now. Who don't want to? Let me see.
Do you see the Kiffhäuser there?
Four. Now is number four in. File scanned, Palestine already exists. Do you want to override the file?
It's putting it. What? That's because it's putting it to where your original is. You know, it's be the same name. So you don't really want to do that.
That's right. Then I put it in the toilet in the up or. Okay, I have now four ones in, and then I say poing, application error. Nonsense is this. I want to see that map. No, okay. Boing! What an awkward thing is this. Maybe because I have it already.
Yeah, probably.
Well, it's a nice way to exchange stuff quickly with everybody, right?
Right. The others can see it. That's good. I have the book in front of me. Yeah. I'll find out later what this is. Yeah. So, and what is this time? Back on the same stuff.
Can you see the GIFOIS file there?
That's the problem. Interesting thing is, the originals, he can't see because it's on the other computer. Hey, and now I can get override again. Sounds German. Okay, then override. So, wonder what he's going to do now. And those do it again. So, what is he now saying? Yeah, sounds Germany. Okay, and show up that stuff. Ding. Now I can't show it up here. I guess it's there. Bing. Oh, drop out my shut close. Now, so what? I have it here on the thing, and when I need it, I have it on the map. Something is doing strange. And what means clean up? Okay. Okay. And now, what is this saying?
So I'm still waiting for the end, the final version of the September edition, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not posted yet. Oh, okay. Nah, I was just curious as to whether it was coming soon.
With the October one, with your editorial, I could put the letter separate to leave it more room. No, put the letter as it was under letters and views.
Okay, but there's no October editorial yet, is there? Did I already write an October editorial?
Yeah, I thought that's what you just sent.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. But I haven't done anything with it yet, Bill. I've only just saw it just as I was looking in.
No, I'm wondering about the September edition.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Let's see if
I thought that would be finished by now. I thought.
I think it is, yes. I'll send it.
Yeah, I never wait received it. That's the one I'm talking about. I haven't received it.
It'll go down on the...
So, oh, right.
I thought we'd be able to publish it by now is my point. I'm just asking. I'm not trying to compel you to send it right now. But I was just curious.
I think I'll check the book in the next days for some more of interesting maps, and then I'll put them on the internet and spread them around. So that everybody can have a look at it, whatever it is. That's interesting, because all these old times are in here. Here I have a map, the Roman World Empire from 200 before Christ to 117 after Christ, BC, AD. And there you can see all these peculiar names for all the various countries in the Mediterranean area. This is very interesting. There's a lot to be copied out of this book.
It'll be a lot of scanning, won't it, Matthew?
Oh, that's for the machine. That's not my worry. And they even give you Colchis at the right position on the east of the Black Sea. Pontus Uxinus. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, you can see Galatia, Bithynia... Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia.
Yeah, well, Colchis is in the same occupied part of the same land, at least as modern day Georgia.
Yeah. Right. Armenia.
Have they got Caesarea there, or the land of Magog?
That is Sarmatia. That's what they call it right now in this at this period of time. And that's too early. This is 117 after AD. And then we have to go up in time. And that could be in. That could be Sarmatia. They still call it there. And Germania Magnum. Oh, well.
Ostrogoth. Oh, even here on the top of the, the 300, say 400 after AD. Now we have the other map, and that is saying that the Ostrogoths are living just west, northwest of the Krim Islands. See, on the Black Sea. Galatia is still at the right position. Armenia is still there. Golgis is there. Mucia is indeed there where it's now Romania. Yeah? That's what the Visigoths can see here. Where's that? It's about in Hungary. That could indeed be. And here they have the Longobardy again in the north of Germany. Yeah, it's 400 after Christ. Well, the Marco Mani is still on the right. Man, there's a lot to be seen in here. Hey, that's very interesting. Britannica is on. Even.
All right.
And the Scoti and the Picti. Yeah, that's really interesting. I really didn't know that I had a source like that here. But that's the lucky thing when you're going to clean out your house for a conference, huh? And do it in time. You get the information in time. It's really worth it. I'll do my best to see some copies. Yeah. Maybe I'll get 10 of these things. Oh, it's dependent on how many I can get on the email. It's up to 10 megabits, and then it's over. But anyway, I'll do my best to copy. Eastern Romania Empire. Yeah, and then they are saying the Slovakian populations. That is right. Baltic populations. Man, there's a lot to be seen in the booklet. It's a small book, but it's plenty of information.
Well, I have entire books of maps about the medieval times and earlier.
Good.
They're not, I don't ones? Appreciate them all as being accurate either.
Ah, okay. Okay, that's right. Yeah. Oh, here is something I see very interesting in the book. Just below of the Baltic. Yeah. And that is Pomerania. And that's where Trixie comes from. Pomeranian dog.
Oh, yeah.
A hedgerow dog. That's Pomeranian. Hey, that's good. I'll better copy that tomorrow.
Pomerania. Yeah.
That's something for Chris. Pomerania. Yeah. And Polana is what you have, and then the Baltic. And that is in Charles the Great in his times. That's what it is. In the Frankian Empire, yeah, under the Franks. That's right. The Saxons were involved at that time. The Friesland were informed. Oh, they have Friesland written in the right way here. That's going way down in the west of the Netherlands. That's exactly what Chetter said. For she is from Friesland, and she knows a lot about Friesland, and how far that went to the west, or the southwest in the Netherlands. And that's correct what she's saying. And still, you see, and here you see also Flandern. That's right. Yeah, oh yeah. Francian on the old names. Oh, I'll copy that as well. Then you can see even in England, Mercia in the middle. Yeah, in the Wessex, the Essex, Kent, yeah. Ost Anglia. That's in East Anglia, of course, but it is written in German. That makes it interesting to learn something. And Dunbar, Lindisfarne, yeah, Bournemouth. Oh, yeah, there's a lot to be seen in here. Now, yeah, okay. I'll see them do my best to copy it. It's better to have something as really nothing. Yeah, oh, boy, this is even. This is a real good one. Middle Europe, the 10th and the 1st year 100, page 42. Prussian is there, Pomeranian is there, Wilson, Litauer, Ostfala, Westfala. Wow. Now, yeah. In the next days, etc., some is coming in for everybody. I'll put them on the mailing list and get it through. There's a lot to be seen. Okay, we will do our best.
By the way, Matthew, I've uploaded that book, Count Cherub Spiridovich, you know, the two seed line general.
Yeah?
I don't know if Bill's heard of him.
No, I haven't. Somebody was asking me about him recently, though. I remember that name from a recent conversation.
If you look on the Christogenia, I've uploaded it, so PDF file.
Oh, if I look at the web space link. Okay, I'll check it out.
No, it's on the forum. I've uploaded it onto the forum browser.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Okay.
But is that a little booklet from which you got from Mike Halimore?
No, I got that from, where did I get it? Oh, from Monica at Sons of Liberty Books.
Oh.
And all throwy quotes about the Jews being Satan's children.
Yeah, that's clear. I don't need to doubt about it. I know it all my life, unfortunately. But other people don't understand it. That's the problem. When I'm thinking about the Ryanites, they know half about it, unfortunately. Yeah, so it is.
Have you seen it, Bill?
Not yet.
I'm just downloading them.
All right.
Ah, okay.
So I think you'll find it interesting. It's lots of little, very short chapters on various incidents. He talks about a lot of the machinations of the Jews against the Tsars in Russia.
Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, there's that one. Ooh.
I just did some file cleanup, right? I made folders so that things don't get lost, right? Okay, what's this Keith Fowler appendix? Somebody asked me, I'm trying to look for it, but I can't find it. Somebody asked me about a certain W.G. Finley book.
Oh, right. That's that South African man, wasn't he? He's the one against Paul.
Right. Yes, he bashed Paul.
Yeah.
I can't quite, the name of the book is on the tip of my tongue. Out of Tomorrow or something.
I'll have a look on my list to see if I got any on Finley's. That doesn't ring a bell, but I'll have a look for you.
Yeah, I went looking for it through the directory, you know, through the archive folder, but I couldn't find it. But they were asking me if we had that book. Appendix 1, The Saga of Keith Hauser.
Yeah.
Yeah, Keith Hauser. In Thuringia, in Germany. I must have been there close by.
It's a legend, isn't it, that the first
legend,
emperor of Germany, who they reckon was a very good emperor.
Well, Barbarossa, Red Beard.
Yeah, and he didn't like the way things went after him, so he goes to sleep. And he said the crows are flying around, so he wakes up and the crows are still flying. So he says, oh, I'll go to sleep again. And he wakes up another 100 years' time, doesn't he?
Right. Yeah, right. That's what it is. And if the other bird is coming in, then that is a...
eagle.
An eagle.
When the eagle comes...
Yeah, then he's opening up his eye and looking around what is happening here. Yeah.
I might put this on my site, the Spiridovich book. I'll have to look through it later.
Okay.
Can you find it interesting? And he's always quoting about the Bible verse, you are of your father, the devil, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And the September New Ensign will be posted to the New Ensign site today.
Right.
Today?
I'll do that. I'll do it this evening, right. For you, it'll be tomorrow, because you won't see it till tomorrow. I'll do it tonight after the Bible study I have at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Hey! There's something remarkable. I'm now half an hour connected. Strange.
Yeah, what?
That's good. They improved.
Well, your neighbor must have hung the phone up, right?
That could be. Yeah. The poor man. Yeah. I don't know why that was, but okay. Something to learn, something experienced. All right. Oh. I have to change this still. Okay. Hey, the Viking was raided Lindisfarne. Oh, yeah, in 793. He drowned on his way in the third crusade in the river. The poor soul. Yeah. Okay.
How do you spell the Finlay?
It's Findlay.
Oh, Findlay. Oh, Findlay.
I'm pretty sure that's how it's spelled.
Oh, yeah. It's Arthur Findlay I've got. And the only books I've got, except that they're in the Orange Street Library. I don't have a copy. It says On the Edge of the Ethical Survival After Death, Scientifically Explained.
Hmm.
But I thought the doesn't sound like the South African one. I just wondered another way it was spelled.
Oh, the figure came along. It's silent.
I've got a Paul Findlay, the high cost of subservience to Israel. That doesn't sound like it.
No, that's not him. I'm pretty sure the name of the book was Out of Tomorrow, but I might have it wrong.
Well, so if I find somebody might have one over here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just doing a book, another book I got at the moment. I haven't read it, but it sounds quite good, called Bella Dodd. I don't know if you've heard of her.
No.
No,
I don't think I've heard of her at all.
It's called School of Darkness, saying about how the the communism is brainwashing organization.
Yeah.
Says Bella Dodd was leader of the Communist Party of America, 1930s and 40s.
Okay, that's the thing you sent over.
Yeah, School of Darkness. But I sent a short write-up of it, but I've got the whole book now.
Oh.
Communism was a hoax perpetrated by the financiers to control the common man and to advance world tyranny. Naturally, this important book is out of print.
Right, that's what it was, yeah.
And not in any used bookstores. It says I found it through interlibrary loan.
Right. Yeah, that's what I read.
Yeah,
interesting thing.
Yeah, so I'm just formatting the book now, so when it's done, I'll let you have a copy.
Whee. How many pages is that?
I'll just have a quick look and see.
How about?
Oh, it's 134, but by the time I've finished formatting it, it'll probably be about 150, 60, I should think.
Okay. Yeah. But you have to type it all, or can you scan it in?
Sorry?
Do you have to scan it in, or can you type it? What are you copying?
Scan.
Okay. That makes it easier.
Yeah. Oh, no, I went back when bad enough scanning and formatting. All of a sudden, I wouldn't have time to type it.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Hmm. Everybody has a lot of work to do. I know what it is.
I can't download this new Ensign 13.
Why not?
I don't know. When I click download and file transfer box comes up, it just says error.
Yeah, you know something? Hit the refresh button and go inside the Euroforum folder. Or close the browser and reopen it. The third button is the refresh button. Click the refresh button. After you click the refresh button, you should see a Euroforum folder and double click on that.
Right.
Okay. I changed the whole file, all the files around to organize them so that there wouldn't be one directory full of garbage, right?
Oh, it's downloading perfectly now. Thank you.
I thought so.
Because I'm surprised it uploads and downloads quite quick.
Yes, it does, very quickly.
Yeah, well, this is American tech. It's American. It's an American server, actually. No, I'm kidding. actually, it's a British server. It's Host Folks, the company that I use for this, is a British company, actually.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's why it works well, then. I'm just comparing it with Skype. You know, Matthew, when I sent you a file, it was downloading for you years, and you know, it never got finished downloading, did it?
Skype allots very little bandwidth to file downloads. because the emphasis is on allowing your bandwidth go to your voice quality, right?
And the video, I suppose.
Right, and that's the way Skype's hooked up.
And I suspect this is these documents are up on the server, so you're downloading it off server bandwidth, right?
Right. So that makes a difference because there's more bandwidth, does it?
Sure. If I was to send you a file for Skype, I'd be using my own personal bandwidth, right?
Right, which is not as fast.
Well, the September new Ensign looks good, and I'll get it up tonight. It'll be on the new Ensign website tonight.
That's good. Oh, yeah, I did forget to tell. Chris knows about it. But last week, from the 11th to the 12th of September, there was something extremely interesting happening. We had clear sky. We could see the stars. It was amazing. Yeah. It was Saturday evening. I was so amazed. I didn't expect it at 9:45. I came outdoors and said, "Oh, sky, I raced up to the fringe.
Do you think an astronomer would have a better grip on a weather report?
Yeah, we should, but it's so strange in today's times. You can't count on it for any hour. But I went in and I started to take pictures, and it went on and on in the night, and it remained clear. So I went to bed at 4:30 in the morning. So on Sunday I said I'll come out of my bed at 12:00. I need some hours of sleep. And indeed, after
just in time
in the
for
film,
Eli.
yeah, that's right. And I had 9 photographs which were correctly, and some 6 of them were taken from the North American Nebula, right upon our heads, straight up. And that's normally in any kind of telescope or instrument invisible, because it's red light which comes out of it. It's hydrogen, the neutral hydrogen. And it gives a form and a shape that gives indeed the idea of the North America continent, whereas the most pronounced part of it is the Mexican area and the Gulf of Mexico. And you can indeed see a kind of Florida in it as well. And that's recorded on the phones, and it's perfectly, the red coloration came perfectly through, and I did send it to the professional developers here for having a few prints of it. And maybe next week, Monday or Tuesday, they will come back, and then I can put them on the internet. Then you can see what the American Nebula looks like. It's very interesting. But I know it's one of the most difficult objects to photograph, so I was glad that I could do it. But it worked fine. And 3 more of the Andromeda Nebula. So it was a successful, useful night. So it was a good start for the new season. And the other days now, it's only crowded out the usual way. Well, we had a start there. It was something positive. Yeah. That's the world of astronomy.
So you probably have to wait about another month for another clear night, will you?
Who knows? Who knows? It could be. Yeah. In the wintertime, it was a waiting time from mid-December to the first week of April. Yeah.
Well, I walked the dog last night at midnight and looked up, and there were 1,000,000 stars.
Right. The telescope is not at your place. It's mine.
But I'm going out to... After this program, I'm going out to pick the rest of my peppers because it's getting near frost time. It's going to happen any night now.
It was
cool. It was very cool last night.
Yeah, that's right. That could be. We are still far enough above zero. The lowest I saw was 6 degrees C plus. So that in a few weeks I have to put recall in my cooling water, not for the car, but for the distilling equipment, for the water distiller. But that's having a cooling spiral outdoors when it's going to 15 degrees minus here. The water is freezing in the pipeline, and that's the end of the copper pipe. That's what I can't risk. But we have that recall here in Ply, so I'll get it down to at least 17 or 18 degrees minus C. Then I'm safe, so, on the safe side. Oh, yeah.
So have you got central heating in your telescope to keep you warm?
Nah. That one is as cold as possible. The cooler it is, the better it is. The only central heating I have is around my legs and on my back. There I have the cable for the 220 line and the heater system in my back. That's what you need, otherwise you can't stay in there. And you have to have a blanket or a double blanket over your legs, because if the slit of the dome is open, then that cold air is coming in. Oh, you're freezing. So I have mostly, whenever I'm observing vertical, almost vertical, then I have the under door of the slit is closed. Otherwise, you're freezing out there. It must be cold, because otherwise you have warm air. Oh, again, that nonsense. Connect.
Hello?
Piggy's gone again.
He's just about gone again. No, let me turn him on here.
This is Bavaria, man. Power grid.
What happened?
Okay.
We know who it is.
Almost 3/4 of an hour. Almost 3/4 of an hour. Yeah, okay. That's reasonable. Now learn something there in Germany. Yeah. Oh, well, is it a submarine colony? I think it is. Yeah. It's up there. Yeah, that's strange. I have to complain about this. Yeah, okay, we will see.
Well, is it your telephone line going down, or?
Oh, who knows? Yeah, well, yeah, who knows? There could be. I believe it. Yeah, it could be. That's really possible.
Probably one of your neighbours is on the computer taking up all the bandwidth.
Yeah. Yeah. This late an hour? Hard to believe, but it could be. But I'm always at the end of the line here, so it could be. But they should start now creating the new optical line from our village to the next village for the 2.5 miles that it is in length. And they should start in autumn time. Well, it's autumn time now here, so they better start and be quick. And before it's going to freeze, and then they can't open the bottom. Yeah. Maybe I'll ask for it if I have time tomorrow. Oh, it's doubtless. I'm still doing some cleaning up work in the house. And the guest room has to be 100% correct. I have still some last things to do before the guests are coming. Yeah. And the house must be cleaned. Okay. That's for tomorrow. So after tomorrow, it must be finished, and then it's ready. Yeah?
So you're going to put your gas to work, Matthew?
Nah, the gas can't work. They must have to observe. They must be able to see what's in here. And then they can say, make some notes maybe. So from in the end, okay, we can have the conference. Only if this is finished, that is finished, that is finished, and so on. No, they will not be that bad.
But, so you're going to invite Hillary?
It's useful. Hillary?
Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah. And, well, then.
She might get the sack.
Yeah, I think so. The poor Hillary. But anybody from them, they may come from the BI. I have no problem with that, not at all. And certainly if they are staying in the guest house, they have a very beautiful breakfast time, etc. Dinner is all here, etc., etc. So, it's no problem. Only if there's something coming through of two seat lines, then they better close their ears. Nah, but I don't think they will come. We might invite them, but I don't think they will come. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a very interesting questionnaire from one of the girls from the Netherlands, from this famous group in the east of the country. And they inquired what I found of the conference. I told Chris, but what I found, what my idea was of the whole conference. And I told them exactly how I was thinking about it and how it was, straightforward as it was. And it was, I didn't get any answer anymore, so maybe they dropped me from the mailing list there. Well, they wanted to have the honest truth about it, so I told it. And that's exactly what it is. If they don't feel convenient, can't help it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Phil's lecture to us was exceptional, wasn't it? I mean, you only have to see how many people have downloaded the lecture to our fellowship.
Right. Yeah. I would say so. Perfect. It is a great thing. Some other people are getting, maybe they are going to sleep and other people are going to raise. And the amount of who are going to raise is probably a lot more than those who are going to sleep. Let's have it in that way, because the world has to get awake. And we do our best as far as we can. And there's a big chance, and it's getting time. It's the end time, or we have to do some. That small group has to be a bit bigger, and some more has to know about the truth and have to put their nose in the Bible back again. This is very interesting. Oh, yes, and that's what I saw. I got this from my niece. Sent it over, and I did spread it here in Europe, about that new Ark of Noah, which is built and constructed in the Netherlands by someone. And it's very interesting. Except I saw some peculiar things on home.
Hello?
I think we lost him again.
Yeah, don't know what. Oh, no, he's still...
He's still there.
His battery ran out. Energize him next time.
Oh, he's disappeared now.
Poor Barbarian, man.
Well, that ark that he was mentioning had been built to biblical, specifications, actual size, and it's absolutely enormous. And this guy spent about 5 years building it. And that's in the Netherlands.
Actual size, too, as well as they could tell, right?
As well as they could tell, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it made of gold? That's what I want to know.
You're back again.
Yeah, I'm back again.
I want to know if it's made of gopher wood. That's the key.
I would doubt that it's not.
What the hell is gopher wood? That's
exactly. Nobody will know, will they?
Ask him, is this gopher wood?
Gopher wood, yeah. But it works. It's an interesting thing. He's also trying to get the people back to the Bible. Yeah, it's a good try. And it was in the western part of the Netherlands. Well, next spring, if I have time and I'm in that area, then I'm going to have a look at it. I'll try to see what it is all about.
So where, it's in Amsterdam, is it?
No, it's north of Amsterdam, in North Holland, somewhere along the Zaan area. That's where I saw it. And maybe it's a good thing for my niece as well to go there. And then we can join forces, because I'm staying over with her and her husband for a few days, and then we can make a kind of excursion to that. And if we can knock at the door of the one who did build the device, then we can say, knock, hey man, where did you get the glass from in those days? Who was the manufacturer of glass pane windows? I don't believe that. Yeah. But anyway, he did his best, and that's an interesting thing. And maybe some more people are going to get back to the Bible and his word. This is what we need. Well, who knows what's going to happen? And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. That's what Alexander is saying. Yeah, that's right. That is in today's times. Yeah, where is he talking about? You subscribe to all channels. Okay, that's the other thing. Yeah. But on the other hand, I wonder where he got the information from the Bible about the shape of the whole ark. For that is nowhere written, whether it had a stern or a bow or a rounded shape, or was it box shaped, or was it just a floating island, whatever.
Right.
That's nowhere written.
There is absolutely nowhere
and
to tell.
And that makes me always a bit sick. Yeah, that's the interesting thing from these construction things in the Bible. When you have any information, you can't do anything with it. That's exactly the same thing for the temple. It is described exactly in size and this and that. And when you're going to try to make a model, bad luck, it doesn't work. Yeah, there shall be no things made and constructed from the word of the Bible. You have to believe exactly what's written in there, and you shall not make any kind of replica or whatever. It's not wanted. And that's the interesting thing for the Ark of the Covenant as well. You can't even touch the Ark of the Covenant. If you would try to, you would be killed automatically. So, if somebody has the Ark, okay, they has a mock-up thing, but certainly not the real Ark. You will never find that one. It's hidden for us. And as long as we're as bad as we are in today's times, we certainly will not find the Ark. But there is now an interesting book from Grant Berkley, and they say they found the Ark. They say that they know where the Ark is. This is very interesting. I hardly believe it. But it's a brand new book. It's only 2 months out now. Yeah.
I think that's a sort of regular thing. They say the Ark's been found, and then it turns out not to be.
Yeah. It's any time found, but where? But it's always a model or whatsoever. But not the real one. And certainly not... then I want to see these cherubims on top of it. They are swings. And there must be swings.
And they're babies with wings.
Yeah, real babies with wings.
Well, that was the first thing that set me off about Ron Wyatt. As soon as he said that, as soon as he described the cherubs, I knew he was a liar.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't even paying attention to everything else, right?
Yeah. And after the information we got from Skip, I said, that's what we needed. Exactly as it is.
Skip's a believer. He's a true believer.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is that he told that it was all the from his youth on, he got the information, he knew it, he has seen it himself, that under the 7 days Adventist, it's filled up with Jews. All kind of Jews and huge amounts. And whenever a Jew is going to Christianity, he's going to the 7 days Adventist. Oh, I say, now he is giving himself the answer. That's what we're waiting for. And he's saying, yeah, that's the reason why Ron Wyatt could walk around in Israel without any problem and all the help of the Jews. Sure, he got all the help. Sure. It's like as if he was walking around in Hollywood. He could do whatever he wanted. It's all nonsense. It's your Jew prepared. So if you hear that, the source is Jewish, then I'm not going to believe the whole story. And then it's very clear that when the film starts, then you see Ron Wyatt coming in with his arm lifting up and having his forefinger, the little finger, and his indicating finger forwards, like the bullhorn sign. That is Illuminati. They said, stop the rest of the film. It's all nonsense. You don't need to read it. This is a lie. And forget it, what they are saying. And unfortunately, few days in the last conference we had on in Black Forest, our chief there, the man who died, unfortunately, he gave in front of the public the same signal. And we were amazed. And I said, what is he doing? Why is he giving that signal? Can't we trust the man anymore? Well, yeah, that was our problem. We couldn't solve it. But when somebody is giving that Illuminati signal, you better don't trust the rest of what he is saying. And we learned that. Tex Marsh is also saying that. He came also up with the various informations of the Illuminati, what kind of signal they have, a secret signal,
etc. Yeah, but he sticks up for the Jews.
Tex
Marsh is a Jew defender a lot of times.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not too sea-lying. He'll talk about the Illuminati and the secret societies, but he won't name the devil.
Oh,
Well, good to know.
He doesn't. I mean, that's the way it is. A lot of them refuse to. They're afraid.
Yeah. But anyway, he is giving information about the Illuminati movement for their signals, etc.
Right. So ask him who the Illuminati is someday.
Yeah, maybe he's one of them himself. I don't know.
Well, I just thought I'd mention that. The September New Ensign is now posted.
Hey,
oh,
good
really
thing.
Good.
Then I have to use it on the other computer.
And it now occupies the front page. It's playable on the front page.
Uh-huh. I'll see that tomorrow evening.
It takes you that long to walk across the room?
Yeah. The conference room.
I don't know about you Germans. I think I must take out my English half.
It's too easy to switch on the other computer. It takes 10 minutes before it started up with all the rubbish in. Then I can see it, but that's for tomorrow evening. Then I'll start it up again. I'll stick to the right one. I keep it on TeamSpeak. Yeah. That's sufficient.
Yeah. So is that the same one you use? Skype?
Yeah, that's for Skype. Not for Skype, that's the other. So Skype is now out. I can't go to Skype now. That's
so I can't fool you on Skype then.
Oh, yeah, you can do it, but there's nobody on. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I have only one channel, and it's too weak, so you can see that I'm switched off automatically once in a while. So far it's going well for the time being. You never know. I'll put on the internet with the maps, photo things. I'll put some of the photographs of the control room here. Then you can see what we are doing here and how it looks like. I have them, so why not? They are still on. Oh, Icelander is back again. Eskimos. Yeah. I know some concerns. I think we're here. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Oh? Then lies to avoid fornication. Oh, yeah. Let every man have his own wife. Yeah, yeah. Let everyone have her own husband. Okay, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Huh? Basic Canadian Indians? Kimos? Inuits. Yeah, that's Inuit. Yeah. Esky. Disconnected. Sussex man is off. How's that?
Well, his signal dropped, I guess. I don't know.
Is it? Yeah. That's only to me. I have the, not Chris, what's that? What's happening in England? Yeah. Bless are ye when men shall revile you. And pass a good year. Okay. That's right.
Sussex man is back, Bill.
Right. That's meant to be.
Hi.
Okay, hi.
I'm just about to tell. No, I think the dog Trixie stepped on my computer and knocked it off.
Oh, what's that?
She's telling me what? She wants to go in the garden, so I'm going to have to leave you.
I think you should have called in Jacko.
Yeah, she said I've been too long.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock there.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll say good night to all, and Yahweh bless.
Yes,
okay.
Yahweh bless. I have been Bible studying a couple of hours anyway myself, and I'd like to probably end the program here, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, then we are going all to sleep here in Europe. The sun is down.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill.
Well, thank you, and thanks for coming, and God bless. And sooner or later, we'll get these other Europeans that visit Christigenia around here. I know they're out there, and I speak to them on the phone, but I don't know if they're shy or what. I can't figure it out.
And it was nice having Icelander here, even though if we don't actually hear him.
Yeah, he could talk. He's just shy. I think he's just shy. He's afraid of his American accent.
That should be quite interesting.
No, I'm just kidding. He's a good young man.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise Yahweh, okay. And I will see you in on the first Thursday in October.
Yes, if not before. Okay, God bye-bye. Bless. God bless.
Right.